Yes, indeed, folks. We are back again. Hobbit House Show, making another town. Back on the road again. It is WrestleMania week, big times. Last night was quite the day, I think it's fair to say. Good, bad, and a whole lot in between. But we keep rolling here, and hopefully good times ahead. I hope everyone is well. My intention, we've got about an hour and a half here until Wrestle Purists Raw review. So my intention is to hang out until then, talk some shop, answer some questions, see what everyone's saying, see what everyone's talking about. Well, not everyone, but those of you in the chat. But yeah, good times. I appreciate everyone who's already joining me here for another wonderful house show occasion. All right, what do we got in the chat? Let's scroll up here. You think Bo Dallas will come back as himself or Uncle Howdy? It seems like Uncle Howdy. That stuff wasn't for me ever. I'm not going to pretend otherwise, but I mean, who am I to say, right? Like what they should and shouldn't do. I wish Bo the best with that. I don't know how close it is, how much they've fleshed out, and it's not really my domain. I assume it'll be Uncle Howdy. It probably won't be the kind of wrestling I like, but who gives a fuck at this point? I mean, good for Bo, and I'm glad that he's been given, you know, time to. I can't even imagine what it's been like. So I'm glad he's been given time. I hope everything that he does coming up, even when he returns to TV, goes well. I imagine Braun and Alexa will probably be involved somehow. I wish them all the best with that regard. Like, again, it's probably not the sort of thing I'm going to be into. You guys know me well enough to know that I'm not going to pretend. But who cares what Joe Hall wants, right? Like, good for them. And hopefully it's well received by the folks that were invested in the Bray Wyatt story and character. That's the most important thing. Hey, Joe. Hello. Not sure if you saw this, but last night the mana was running wild. I went to bed early because I wasn't really into Raw, but the show closed with like a classic angle. Good God, man. Tremendous, tremendous stuff. The tag match build is like some of the best WrestleMania build that I've personally seen to be honest with you, because a lot of the best WWE WrestleMania build stuff I wasn't watching for. I haven't got as much a WWE experience as many of you probably do, but of the stuff I've seen, the tag build has been some of the best that I can recall. I actually make a point of watching. I didn't love last night's opening segment, but to give you guys some perspective on kind of where, like, how much I'm paying attention, usually when Worldwide ends, we'll kind of hang out and talk shop for a little bit. Last night, I knew that Rock was opening. I was like, I need to go see what the Rock's up to tonight, you know? So that isn't something that happens very often. But that's where I'm at with it. I'm really, really into it. There's not a lot else on the show that I'm, like, pumped for. I'm excited for WrestleMania because it's WrestleMania, but it's like, if I was ranking in terms of investment, it's the Rock match, you know, plus Roman Cody, and then a huge drop-off, just because I think it's felt different to me. So, great, great stuff. It's been a treat to have Rock back in the game full-time for a minute. You know, it's been very, very cool. Did you like the Bray doc? I know it was going to be hard watch. Yeah, I haven't seen it yet, unfortunately. I will watch it at some point, because I can only, like, from what I've heard, it's made wonderfully well. And I will probably watch it at some point. I'm way behind on the wrestling documentary front. I still haven't watched the Randy biography. I still haven't watched a couple of the Dark Side of the Rings. I'm way behind. I saw the Bray one got rave reviews, which I was pleased to see that, because often productions like that can give people like a weird closure. When I say people, I mean like us as fans, because when your favorite pro wrestler or whatever passes, it's a weird dynamic. Like, you don't know them, but you feel like you do. It's a very strange thing. I didn't experience that for Bray, but I did definitely experience that with Jay Briscoe. Like, it, like, the gym that ruined my week. And there's people that know me that didn't really understand why it bothered me so much. But I think if you're watching this, you get it. Like, it's a weird connection we have with these people. So for me, with that, the couple tribute shows were like a somewhat, you know, closure as a fan. It seemed like a lot of the Bray Wyatt fans got that from this latest documentary on Peacock. So I was glad to hear that. I'm going to watch it at some point. When I do, I will report back. But yeah, I heard it was great. Good evening. Thank you for the house, always. Shout out Six Star. Love Six Star around here. All hail, Hester. I hope you're well, mate. Joe Drip, but I don't know about that, but I appreciate it. I cannot confirm or deny that I'm in talks with the Four Horsemen Network. Cannot confirm or deny that. That is one of the funniest press releases that I can recall. Incredible. Joe, I'm afraid I'll knock someone over when the glass shatters Sunday. Can you please give a seminar on how to observe live graps? I could give you one, but the glass shattering is kind of beyond that, especially in the middle of a WrestleMania main event with The Rock involved. I think even I would make noise and maybe my arms would go up or something. I don't know. I think I would even react to that. But generally, this one helps. The arms fold is always steady. A few times at that Rev Pro show I was at on Sunday, I did one of these, which happened a few times. But yeah, I mean, you got to have like a go-to playbook is the real thing. But Steve Austin, I think, is going to shatter that, pun intended, regardless. So you get what you get, I suppose. CM Punk, this house show. Folks, if you have questions about CM Punk, I will answer them. But this is generally my sentiment. I love CM Punk as a professional wrestler, but I have no interest in relitigating the AEW stuff. Again, if you want to ask it, I would try my best to answer it. But like, I wouldn't expect anything insightful from me. I had 2 hours to muster up anything insightful last night and still came out on naught. So, yeah, it is what it is. This is very much not really the show to get in those waters. All right. Yeah, man. Absolutely. That was awesome. That the way Rock sold that Cody comeback and the way the people were rocking for it, that was big business. Big business indeed. It's going well. More drip talk, pop. Joe, what is a random match for any era, any promotion you'd recommend I watch this week? Interesting. We did one recently. This is like a really weird, quirky one, but we did it on Grin Grappler, and it's like, so it's fresh in the memory. Doink the Clown and Mr. Perfect Kurt Hennig from Raw in 1993. They have perhaps the least Raw 1993 match ever. They have elements of like, they kind of shoot at times and they wrestle on the mat, and it's a fascinating match. It's a quirky one. Another one, if that doesn't do it for you, is Dustin Rhodes and Vader from Clash of the Champions in 94, November 94. Incredible match. I'm indeed repping Lebowski today, folks. One time before, I wore this shirt on WrestlePurious, and obviously, like, I can't show it because there's no one else on screen, but obviously on WrestlePurious, I'm just like a third of the screen, right? So you just saw this face, and someone was like, does he have Donald Trump on his shirt? That was a very unfortunate moment. I was tempted to go and change in the middle of the show, but full screen, you can see we've got some Lebowski business going on here. God bless. Enjoy the show, brother. Have fun. Man, there's a lot of the CM Punk discourse, but I wish more of it was about that Randy video. It was fucking awesome. That was my personal thing yesterday. We need a Joe run in on the Raw review. We don't, but I appreciate the thought. Good evening, JJ. Long time no see, brother. I hope you're well. Sucks to start with a bummer. But how about them AEW cards? Shocked to learn Twitter was wrong and AEW isn't Disneyland. Yeah, no, it does. It does really suck. Like, it's not so I'm surprised at, because it is the norm in wrestling, unfortunately. It is a shame that AEW isn't going to be different in that regard, but it still sucks. Just to quickly get it. So, Slim J did a thread, and I implore everyone to go read it. Shout out Slim J. I'm like a huge fan of Slim J. The Oracle of Wrestling is a big fan, but I haven't seen a lot of Slim J. His work. But in his thread, he was talking about like how it was his second job. And I mean, the one thing I would say that I think I'd like to have been consistent on this. Dude, like, I understand there's tiers of contracts and stuff, but if it was like the bottom of those, it's got to be better than me having to read Fred's letter after a guy's been under contract for 18 months, you know? I mean, maybe that's a controversial take. Maybe that's tribalistic. I don't fucking know. I don't really care. But, like, that goes for any company. And, like, not any company, the top two companies, I think if you're under contract with them, you should actually be able to be fine without having to have two jobs, to be honest with you. But I don't know. And that's not an AEW bad thing, because the WWE NXT contracts are fucking insane. So it used to be. I don't know what they are now, but they used to be insane. It sucks. The Anthony Henry thing is really shitty. He may have the worst luck in professional wrestling at the minute, to be honest with you. It fucking sucks. And he is genuinely good. Like, here's the thing when I say he's genuinely good. We're all aware that he's not like a top guy, right? We get it. We understand it, and that's fine. But man, there's got to be a role for him to play, right? He's been both top companies now, and he's not even really got a real chance. It fucking stinks, dude. I feel so bad for him. I wish him the best. I know that he tweeted about, like, kind of, not sure he wants to continue. And I know he said the similar before. I know he's 40 now. I'd imagine it's very hard to have confidence, right, and to feel good about your game when you've had the experience he's had. I know he doesn't probably give a shit what I think. He certainly isn't watching right now, but I would say that many people would agree with my assessment. That dude belongs on TV. He's just had really bad luck. So I wish him the best in particular. Look, I'm not going to be hyperbolic about some of the names. There are some of the names that were let go last night. I was surprised they were signed to begin with. However, I will always believe that in an ideal world, and it's not a world that's impossible to reach either, contracts would be fulfilled. Unfortunately, I think at this point we can concede on that ever being a thing to expect from any of these companies, which sucks. And I wish the best to all the folks involved. So I hope that was a good answer, guys. I don't know. I find it to be very demoralizing sometimes, because I don't want to be very cynical, but, you know, it's hard not to be with professional wrestling at times. I hope that was a sufficient answer. Who has a better match catalog, Rock or Cena? Cena. Yeah, I'm a bigger Rock fan. Cena was around longer. Cena's match catalog is superb. Superb. Can you bury Brett Simtex the Ripper? I wasn't paid close enough to just to bury, but yeah, he didn't seem to be. I'm not going to bury, but yeah, there were some choices made for sure. There was definitely some interesting elements at play there. All right, one second, folks. Let me just scroll here because I lost my place in the chat. I apologize. I'm scrolling furiously. I'm almost there. Match catalog, yes. I definitely answered that. Brett Semtex, thank you. Sorry, my thing was being weird. Some talented guys on that show. Brett Semtex did not jump off the page as being one of them, but yeah, he was interesting in that. Anthony Ogogo got some shine, which was funny. I think he might want to let the boxing part of the game, like, I get it's his background, but the knockout punch deal is very difficult to work into matches with 5'8" British guys, you know? It's a little bit challenging. But he's doing his thing. Fulsom Rossi appearing on Samurai TV, it's always new promotion. Real grabs. Did you watch the video? Yes, I did. The Punk Randy thing was absolutely tremendous. I love content like that. Wish we got more of that stuff in pro wrestling. It is cool, absolutely. Roman regained his mana yesterday. The way we talk about mana around here is really unsettling, to be honest. Joe, is there any match or card that is not WWE or AEW that you're excited for this week? I assume you should be counting Ring of Honor under the AEW umbrella. I'm not a single match, but you said card. I'm always into the Bloodsport thing. If I'm being completely honest with you, bro, like, Bloodsport is one of those things that's better in my brain than it actually is in reality. When I actually watch it, I'm usually like, oh, that's fine. But, like, that is something that I will watch. I'd like to see the Dean show. It depends how my schedule works out. Because that's one that I know means a lot to friends of mine. Other than that, not really. Because I'm probably the thing is, I'm probably going to be covering the stuff you mentioned. That I'm already going to be covering that, quote unquote. So the time kind of doubles up. So it's a little bit tough. But I'm going to try and pick out some stuff. I'll keep you updated on the Twitter as to what I'm watching. And it's a really cool time of the wrestling gear, right? It's a really fun kind of vibe, and it's neat the way that people come together for WrestleMania week. I can't pretend that when I look at the cards, I'm super thrilled by a lot of the offerings on the indie side of things. But hopefully there's some surprises and guys get over and connect and make a bit of a name for themselves. That's always the hope, right? So, yeah, I know there's some talented dudes in town. So hopefully it goes well. Pop. Very excited for the Graps this week. What matches are you looking forward to? Abe Nomura, sorry, at Bloodsport is at the top of my list, along with both Mania main events. Yeah, that's gonna be quite the deal. I think Sammy and Gunther is the one that I'm like really intrigued what version of that match comes out. You know, I think I said it on the preview show we did at Late Night Grimm, which you can check out, by the way. Dude, the best version of that match is like a Mania classic. So that's the one that I definitely circle. Weirdly, if it is happening, I don't even know if it's happening, but Gallows and Anderson versus Bron and Corbin is just fun to me because, of course, it is. Briscoe and Eddie, like, those ones come to mind for sure. Yeah, Slim J, absolutely. Okay, has Rock made wrestling cool again? He certainly made his stuff on Fed TV worth watching. Yeah, I don't know. Wrestling being cool is, I feel like, a dangerous road to try and walk, but it definitely, my personal anecdotal experience would be that wrestling is definitely more in the conversation than it has been in a long time. That's what I would say. You know, whether it's cool or not, I mean, cool is a strong word. I don't know. I don't know what's cool anymore. I'm certainly not the person to answer it sitting here looking like this, but he's definitely part of a kind of an increasing momentum. Now, to be completely honest, I do think Dwayne is being a little bit generous. He does the wrestling is cool again. It to me looks like, if you look at the industry right now, WWE are in a hot period. I don't know if the industry is necessarily in a hot period, and I don't say that to disparage anyone. It just, that's what it looks like to me. From a quality perspective, there's some really good stuff, but I don't know if you could say business is booming so much as their business is booming. Make of that what you will, but that's my kind of broad assessment of where we're at in terms of momentum and cool. But I'm really enjoying the AEW product. As many of you know, I review Steel Dynamite on Thursdays, and I am really enjoying it. I just don't know if I could say they're hot. You know, like, there's a difference, I guess, would be the way I put it. Should Seth and Cody do the Shield entrance for Saturday? That could be fun, especially to keep their real entrances fresh for Sunday. Interesting. Yeah, hell of a go-home angle. Absolutely. I didn't even know Punk was on the kickoff show. Pop. I think Seth is at least wearing the vest night one. Yeah, that would be cool. That would be a cool deal. Force on the stand and deliver card. Let me pull it up here. If you're enjoying the show thus far, folks, and you're confident you won't change your mind about it, please do give us a thumbs up. The subscribe, all those things. I think we're around 600 now. I don't think we have any goals immediately ahead of us, but if you're watching, you're not subscribed, show us some love. It helps, apparently. Stand and Deliver, I just Googled, and I've pulled up the 1988 American drama film, which was nominated for Best Actor at the 61st Academy Awards. I don't think that's what I'm looking for. NXT Stand and Deliver is a professional wrestling event produced by WWE, a Connecticut-based professional wrestling promotion. Okay, that sounds more close to it. Here we go. Philly, 2024. Ilya and D'Angelo, hilarious match. Could be quite good. Ilya has one way, which is just fucking whacking guys. So that'll be fun, even if it might annoy me. We mentioned the tag match, or what I hope the tag match will be. Lyra Valkyria versus Roxanne Perez. Mechanically should be good. I'm told Roxy's doing good as a heel, which I'm glad to hear. Obafemi, Dijak, Josh Briggs, big lad moves match will probably be a huge hit in the building. And then the big one, Trick Williams, Carmelo Hayes. Very interesting one to circle. We were just talking about Ilya Dragunov. Ilya managed to have tremendous matches with both of those gentlemen. This is kind of one that you look at if you're calling guys up or if you're trying to assess the guy's main roster ceiling. What do Melo and Trick do together? That will be the intriguing thing. What's your top five matches of March? Oh, my God. I don't have a spreadsheet anymore. Let me try my best here. My notifications are just very scary. It appears that I'm not in trouble. Good. All right. Let me pull up my, let me go to the WrestlePurist match ratings chat here. I'm not going to get anyone else in trouble. I just want to be able to see what matches I've, what professional wrestling matches I liked in the month of March. Okay. Samoa White Man immediately has to be mentioned. That was absolutely special and more specifically was truly unique in a way that I don't think is the norm really. At the minute where it feels like there's a lot of bleed over in terms of what makes matches good. We use the same words a lot to describe these. That one was different. CMLL, 8-man, definitely. I would say Christian and Coat would be in the conversation for me. Not a perfect match. Lost their way a little bit at the end, but still a really good professional wrestling match. It was a quiet week there. Well, the TV stuff for me kind of levels out. There's so much of it, you know. The Nat Sapoy tag with Hashimoto and Sari would be in there, and then you go Revolution, and from Revolution, take your pick. I mean, good God, there was some incredible matches. The Sting match was March. It feels like a lifetime ago, but I'm pretty sure that was still March. So there's a handful of picks for you, mate. Hey, Joe, looking to get into territory wrestling and start watching Mid-South and Derby Network. Got any other recommendations? Mid-South is a good one because Mid-South stuff is, it works better like as a weekly show. Watts was kind of famous for that, as well as other less fortunate, less flattering things. But he was famous for like his TV being kind of ahead of the curve in that regard. So that's a good start. I definitely think territory TV, I'm trying to think of what's on the network specifically, because I know that the Memphis tape library is like a catastrophe. I think the later stuff that's a lot more accessible for someone trying to get into it is the kind of Crockett days. Now, the thing with that is it's territory wrestling, but not really, because at that point they're really trying to reach nationally. But I think in terms of format, it's a nice thing to jump into because you're going to recognize a lot more of the faces. You know, like the roster is loaded. Especially through the years that it begins to like 86, 87. That stuff's good. The prior Atlanta TVs with Piper are very compelling. There's a lot of great Ole Anderson stuff. Make of that what you will. There's a couple calls, but honestly, Mid-South is the right place to start and see if you like it. If you don't like it, then try some of the others. But Mid-South is probably the one that has aged the best as if you're going to do a full watch. If you were going to pick out the best of, then you can bounce around. You know, we were talking about AWA on the Grin Grappler a couple weeks ago. The AWA stuff, the best of it is great. Unfortunately, if you watch the weekly TV, I don't think you'd last very long before canceling your subscription. So there's some options, but I think Mid-South is the right place to start, mate. I hope you enjoy it. Keep me updated. It's always a fun project. All right, how many lies do you think Hogan will tell in his new podcast? I think he's got to be shooting for one every minute, right? Has to be. There you go, some love for the Doink match we were talking about. What was the one match or moment that got you hooked on wrestling? Man, great question. I always feel bad. I haven't got a sexy answer for these. Like, I think my experience of wrestling is different to most people in that I was very much aware of and familiar with wrestling at a young age because of my older brothers, but I really didn't become a big fan until not even a decade ago, you know? So I don't have the same, like if you ask my favorite wrestlers, they very seldom have like a childhood nostalgia for me. It's generally when I was a teen, you know, I mean, this, it wasn't like I was six or seven, you know, so single moment would be hard. If you watch the Finn Balor Samoa Joe match review that we posted on this channel, while it's not a single moment, I do think it'll give you like a good idea of the wrestling that got me hooked, so to speak. Because then that bled into watching more New Japan, and then you kind of you go from there. And then in the late 2010s, mid to late 2010s, then I started becoming an archive freak and going through all the WCW stuff, and then you go for the Crockett, and then you do Mid-South. So a little bit of a weird one. I'm not like, my route into wrestling fandom wasn't normal, really. But I guess it worked out. I don't know. But yeah, that video, I think, captures like the time I have the most nostalgia for, if that helps. Probably not. All right. Joe, I've been interested in getting Samuel. I'm not sure if you can help, but can you recommend any must-see matches or tags? Ibu is much more familiar. What I would say is there was like 4 Rocky Romero matches in 2023 that were just incredible. Him and Dorado had a couple. The first one I think is a lot better. Him and Volador, I want to say I reviewed one of those matches, but yeah, I'm not as familiar. I mean, it's an awesome product. It's just not saying that I've like dived deep into. But next time we do the worldwide, I will try to get some direct recommendations, or if Ibu comes on for Hang and Behold, but he's much more well-versed. But it's an awesome product, man. Tracksuit talk, respect. All right, here we go. If you could move any wrestler in their prime to another promotion, who would you move and where? For example, 09 Orton in New Japan Pro Wrestling. That's a really fun one. That is really, really interesting. Orton is a great one because we've only seen him in one place, right? Like 2011 Randy Orton in, you know, mid-90s WWF working with Brett and being in a situation where he had to wrestle like 4 big matches a year. I think would be interesting. I'd like to see the match he'd have with Yokozuna, for example. Randy's a fun one to kick around. My God, there's so many options there. All right, here's one that is not a big time jump, but I'd like to see it a different version because it bummed me out the way it went. Brett in WCW is like so sad because he's one of my favorite wrestlers with my favorite promotion, quote unquote. And for anyone who doesn't know, Brett was allegedly going to jump in January 92. And I'm forever fascinated by what that would look like. Now, obviously, in the grand scheme of things, I'm glad it didn't happen because Brett became Brett, and I don't think it would have worked out nearly as well in WCW. But it is a bummer to me that his WCW run is that unfortunate, considering that I do think that could have been a good marriage at any other point in history than post-Montreal Brett with 1998 and beyond WCW. So I guess slightly, you know, convoluted answer, I would say, give me like, you know, 94... 95, 96, somewhere in there, Brett, in early 90s WCW, I guess would be my pick. Brett as a touring NWA World Champ would be interesting too, right? That'd be weird. Okay, I'm catching up here. I'm seeing some talk about the Slim J. Fred. Someone who's only going to night one. I feel so lucky for the card we got. Oos vs. Oos, Gunther, Sammy, Dwayne. Wings we made at Lincoln Financial. Wings? Fair. Dude, I think you got the much better card. So, yeah, God bless, man. It's good shit. Tremendous, tremendous stuff. Have fun. Okay. What are your true thoughts on MJF? I feel like I'm the only one who still thinks he's top 5 in the company. He's best. I think that's a crazy take. He's best. He's tremendous, isn't he? He's just, it's a creative choices thing sometimes. Very, very talented, and I agree at his best. He's absolutely in that conversation. At times, a better worker than promo to me, which I think is at odds with his reputation historically. Very, very gifted. Probably needs an editor that he trusts. Sometimes has bad influences, and when one left to his own devices, I think can get himself in some trouble creatively, but very, very talented, super, super young. And to be totally honest, my gut feeling is sometimes I think he's a little tough on himself in trying to do too much, trying to be all things at once. I know that's what, you know, I get the motivation behind that, but I sometimes think it hurts. But very, very talented. I'm intrigued what he does next. He had like a few bad months at the end of, you know, what is he, 6th or 7th year in wrestling? Like it's not a big deal in the grand scheme of things. Hopefully he comes back and is refreshed and has some big ideas. The Dasha thing was weird, I agree. Joe, can you give me some underrated Mania matches to watch? Underrated WrestleMania matches. Trying to think if there's a... Underrated is always hard because I always struggle to perceive what like people think was good and not so good, you know? I think underrated WrestleMania. I'm gonna try my best for this, brother, because this is a good question. And I feel like there's a million potential answers that I'm forgetting because I have no understanding anymore of what people think was good and not, and what's underrated and overrated. I'm now scrolling through WrestleMania match cards. You know what's a good one? Nash, the Shawn match is good, but I like the Diesel Taker match quite a bit from WrestleMania 12. That's one that I never see anyone talk about. I think is actually like really quite good. Otherwise, honestly, it appears that Punk Randy match was underrated until yesterday, and then it was called a classic, and I don't know. Now it's probably overrated, right? After being deemed a classic on the official WWE YouTube. In a weird way, Charlotte and Asuka is probably underrated as a wrestling match because, well, you get what you get, I suppose. Jericho and Christian, I remember being good at WrestleMania 20. Mickey and Trish is remembered for a moment, quote unquote, but is actually like really quite good. Mickey is great in that match. So there's a few of them that come to mind. There's so many matches. I apologize. There's a few. Tell me what you think of them. Okay. Yeah, I agree completely. The reason The Rock's catalog isn't as deep is purely because he left. Absolutely. Yeah, I get this completely. Punk, like, I want to be clear about this, folks. When I say that I don't care about disagreeing with CM Punk or I don't care about whether he's right or wrong, that doesn't mean I think no one is allowed to be. You can feel however you want about CM Punk. And I, as I think I expressed a little bit on Worldwide without getting too deep in it, because I just, again, it's whatever to me. But I disagree with some of the things he said. I agree with some of the things he said. Many of the things he said, I don't think I really have any, you know, I don't have any kind of educated opinion on. When I say I don't care, it doesn't mean you can't, is the point I'm making. Many of my friends feel very strongly one way or the other. Do your thing. It's cool. It's fine by me. I get it. It's interesting. It's entertaining. It's engaging. All those good things. I'm just all out, I guess, is my point. I want to make it clear because I know some people do the above it all thing. And it's like, everyone's allowed to have opinions on it. That's none of my business. Okay. Who's on Macho Man and Crush at WrestleMania 10? I have no memory of it, but I seem to recall it's very long. I seem to recall. DDT show, I do actually think, I seem to recall that looking good. Joe Mercy, Machine Guns, Free Agents, AEW or WWE. A person would love to see him wrestle FTR in a regular tag and then make their Raw debut. I think it's going to be AEW. Just more natural fit, I think, right? Like, they'll get a good reaction out the gate too. It's just so much easier, I think. And schedule's easier. There's natural matchups waiting for them. I just think it's a natural fit. I think WWE will be interested, but I don't know. I think AEW and Mercy Machine Guns is like fits like a glove. We'll see how it looks in action. I'm pretty optimistic though. So, Joe, with many of your favorite wrestlers, those versed in the real, being over 40 and or real beat up, are you concerned about the future of your fandom of modern wrestling? Yes. I'm very concerned. I don't watch as much of it as I used to, and I do worry that I am washed and have little left to contribute, if I'm completely honest. It's like a increasing concern of mine in the year of 2024. I feel very out of touch sometimes. I don't know. Especially when I go to shows like that Rev Pro show, which I thought was a very good show, but there is such an obvious like direction that everyone's work is going. I just would like to see more guys buck the trend and do their own thing. It worries me a little bit. Like, I love a forearm, a chop, and a drop kick to the kneecap. But, you know, I don't think every single match needs to have them. I'm sorry. I just feels like we're losing a little bit of individualism to me. It's very homogenized. So I do worry about it more than I should as an adult professional wrestling fan that has no real reason to worry about such a thing. But I do concern myself for these matters, yes. I have nowhere to change or fix it, though, so I should probably stop worrying. I know last year was huge, but this WrestleMania, if it was like there's more hype going in, more mana, dare I say. What's your memories of watching WrestleMania as a kid? Well, John, I know you asked this before. I was talking about my fandom. But yeah, I really don't have any rich ones, unfortunately, man. It's a shame. I definitely remember some parties in the 2010s for very unfortunate WrestleManias. I think it's still going on, but obviously my most vivid WrestleMania memory, not as a kid, but most vivid memory was going to New Orleans for WrestleMania 34, which I should have gone to therapy after that, if I'm being honest with you, but here I am. I made it. Okay. Brian Danielson, Blue Panther, real graps. Well, Hal, Croaky, I hope you're well, mate. AEW is mostly good and competent right now, but I'm struggling for that connection I once had. Can't put my finger on it. Maybe I'm just getting old. Yeah, I'm in a similar spot. I also think I'm just getting old, though, so. What are you going to do? Would you rather start a promotion with Bron and Punk or Samoa Joe and MJF? That's a nasty question. You really put me in a tough position here, I feel. Because, okay, I like the idea of Bron Breakker is more to my taste than MJF. But, like, MJF is definitely a more polished professional wrestling talent than Bron. I don't think that's controversial. I hope not. And he can talk, and he can just give you a lot more TV. Obviously, I'm a bigger Samoa Joe fan than a CM Punk fan, as you can. I mean, I think CM Punk's awesome, but Samoa Joe's my guy. But, you know, if I'm starting a promotion, then I am aware that one of those fellas is a little bit more box office than the other. It is where it is. I don't think Joe would argue that point. See, but I'm in a difficult spot here. I'll take Samoa Joe and MJF, but I'm not sure we're winning the ratings war. I'm not sure at all, but I'll go with it nonetheless. Fun question, though. I think Hangman should have won that Revolution title match. Swerve chasing the title from Hangman would be hotter than Joe's feud. No disrespect to Joe. Yeah, I don't disagree. It seems like Hangman can't be around right now, though, so I'm not sure that was even an option, unfortunately. Trick Mello. Yeah, it'll be interesting. I'm intrigued what it looks like. Trick's obviously still very raw, but he's got a lot better, to be fair, so we'll see. Ilya, I think, will be fine on the main roster. I think they actually will feature him quite prominently. I have my ups and downs with him. He's very, very talented, though. I think he'll be fine. More Trick Mello talk in the chat. That support would kill it on the Holbert House show. Factual. Dude, this is what I'm saying. That Sting match being in March, it feels like a lifetime ago. Meech claims that if everyone gives a thumbs up, I'll be going out in public and asking people about obscure WCW matches to get started. Absolutely not true, but you still should give it a thumbs up. You absolutely should. Yeah, Memphis is a weird, like, the only way they lived is, like, I think, like, Cornette, like, got Lawler to give him some of the tapes and that, and then he sold it. It's a fascinating thing. Like, they used to just tape over them. The Memphis tape library is, like, it's a weird one. I'm not an expert on it, but I know that it's very weird. Have you seen Cody's freaking nightmare weight belt? It's shit. No, but I believe your assessment is accurate, certainly. It's a shame about New Japan. I miss the golden era, and I've been rewatching some of the best of it. Wanted to keep following what they're doing now, but it just doesn't move. But yeah, it's not any good anymore, unfortunately. I mean, not any good sounds right, but it's just not, you know, the beauty of wrestling is promotions have hot spells and then they kind of hit the wall, and it's very obvious that spell's over. It's been over for a while now, but that's still an incredible time, man. I mean, yeah, keep what. Like, I know you said you missed the golden era, but that's the kind of stuff. There's so much depth to quality of matches. You can go through that over and over. You know, there's stuff I haven't seen, and I watched a lot of that in real time. So Yeah, great times. It was a hell of a run they had in that form too. It didn't last forever, but oh my God. Big E presents Omos versus Otis in an XL eating contest. My God, Jack Crosby just sent me this. Did you see Dave's rebuttal to Pepsi Phil? I did. It was absolutely hysterical. Hysterical. He was like, cool this, but what be sitting there like this? Just... Oh, good stuff. Appreciate you, Brainbuster. What's your take on CM Punk's idea of what it takes to make money in the wrestling business as opposed to AEW's mindset and try to build a new way to make a business? Very much a kind of traditional wrestling mindset in that regard. The way Punk talks about it is not surprising to me. It's about in line with what I kind of perceived his viewpoints to be on it. I think it's a much more nuanced conversation than it often can be on Twitter or even in a, you know, Punk was talking in an interview with a million other things going on. So it's a weird one. But it's more complicated than just like it increasingly is becoming good match versus story. And those two things do not have to be divorced. You know, they don't have to be separate worlds. I know most of you know this, I'm aware, but I'm just, you get my point, right? It's like, I think there are a million and one ways to do wrestling correctly. I do absolutely think some of AEW's approach limits their commercial reach. I don't know if they understand and agree with that, but don't care, or if they disagree with that. I don't know. But like, I think Trevor Dame had a great thread about how AEW's main characters never feel like main characters the way the other channel's main characters do. Now, Trevor said, and I actually agree, that can actually be a feature for my enjoyment of the show. Because what it means is if I'm not into some of the guys they're pushing, it isn't as exhausting as if you're a WWE fan and you're not into Cody. Like, you know. However, the fact it's a feature to my enjoyment, it can be a flaw to the show's ability to reach people. I think there's something to that. AEW will generally push guys, like, they'll spread it and, you know, everyone will get like a little push. Whereas in WWE, you can tell when they're going with a guy and they like smash them over. Now, again, you'd be watching that and saying the AEW way of doing things is more to my taste. I would actually agree with you. But I do think it is somewhat at odds with maximizing assets from a business point of view. So I say all this to say, I think there's truth to Punk's critique. I don't think there's a lot to be gained from the way that he specifically phrased it, but I get he's just talking in an interview, it's whatever. But there are a million and one ways to do wrestling. You don't have to do it exactly like WWE by any means. But I do think there's always room to debate whether something's working or not, you know? So I say all this to say it's complicated. All right, here we go. I must say, in terms of Glasgow and the pay-per-view, I would not dismiss Punk being there for that, if I'm being real. It's not a scoop. I don't know. Would not dismiss it, though. He's on one right now. I don't think I'm talking out of turn to say that. Smoky Mountain talk. The dirty white boy. Top baby face. Top heel. Both of those, I believe, at different times. Fascinating. All right. I go on the cage match gimmick. It's wild the variety of wrestlers Brian has on his match guide. There's a Kamala match. There is a Kamala match. Yeah, Brian's. And it's like all on tape, too, pretty much. So, yeah, Brian, hot take. I think Brian Danielson's had a pretty good career. Are you going to the Scotland show? I'm not going to be going. Because it's an arena, the ticket prices for that show are going to be nasty. Nasty. Like, it's, yeah, it's going to be very unfortunate. So I'm not going, but I am going to a WWE show in 2 weeks in Cardiff. So I'm pretty excited about that. I love house shows. As you guys know, this, you're watching the whole house show right now. So yeah, going to that, but I will not be going to the pay-per-view. Do you think Brian puts his hair on the line? I definitely think he'll do the hair versus mask deal eventually. Yeah, things that he's said he wants to do at this point, I think he's kind of proven that, you know, it's inevitable it will happen. Absolutely, they did, yeah. Brett was a huge shift in the war, because if they get the Brett thing right, it changes everything. Though I will say that, you know, I don't blame him for it, because he'd been for a lot, but Brett was definitely different in WCW. And that doesn't excuse Bischoff's booking, but he was different. Like, you could tell there was just a certain, you know, he didn't want to be there. It was almost lifeless. It's a shame. It really, Brett's one of my all-time favorites. And whenever I watch his WCW work outside of like one or two matches, the ones you're thinking of, it's just, it doesn't feel quite right. It feels like a guy on autopilot. Even the ones that are pretty good, it never feels the way you'd want it to feel. It's a real, real shame. I wish things could have gone differently. Would love to see one more match, Christian in a G1. That's tremendous. Christian Cage is an early 90s WCW guy. Would be awesome. Christian Cage in the Dangerous Alliance or some shit, you know? That'd be fun. Dude, that Kevin Owens like auction signing thing that I was posting on Twitter was incredibly funny. That dude is hysterical. He really is. How excited are you for the best wrestler in the world, Bron Breakker, to squash Cody at SummerSlam? Sure. I'm not sure that's going to happen, but I mean, yeah, I'm not against it. Bron Breakker's pretty sick, dude. Where do you stand on the HBK debate? I think Sean was great, absolutely great. I don't think he's the best professional wrestler to ever live. I'm obviously a Brett guy. Breaking news, shocker, like the most obvious, you know, like I'm a Brett fan more, but I do think Sean was great. I think he was less consistent than the history books credit him for, if I'm being honest. I think he had a lot more off nights than kind of the memory suggests, but he was great. More theatrical at times than my ideal professional wrestler would be, but still, I mean, to me, at some point, you can't argue with the output. He has a lot of matches I just love, ultimately. Some love for Cody and Ray at SummerSlam at 27. SummerSlam or WrestleMania 27, sorry. JBL Finley is one of my favorites. That's a good call in terms of underrated WrestleMania matches. Would you like to see a lightweight belt replace the pure title in ROH, because there are not a lot of guys that can work the style? I don't know about the lightweight. I don't know. I'd have to really see what the lineup would be. I think it's challenging with the way wrestling is trended. You know, I think it's hard to do in a way that isn't kind of, doesn't really feel kind of disingenuous. Like, I always remember WWE, you know, having a cruiserweight champ, Buddy Murphy, and AJ Styles is WWE champ. And it's like, makes sense of that, right? Like, I think it's a hard thing to do. I still think it'd be a better idea in the pure title, which I don't think a lot of guys, I don't think a lot of guys ever would have maximized that twice. Nigel was great at it, but there isn't many others that I would list. Like, I didn't think Joe really did a lot with the rule set. So, yeah, I definitely think it's a better idea than the pure belt, even if I'm not sure it's a good one. Favorite version of The Rock's theme, Hollywood, definitely. My thing with the AEW releases. I know you got here a little late, Modest Kim. We were talking a little bit about the Slim J Fred. Okay. There we go. Always 6-star. Absolutely. And I appreciated your tweet. When I was at the York Hall, but there was some bad wrestling on. I appreciate your tweet. I hope you will. Thoughts on Dom Mysterio creating a new bad guy Latinos faction. Fascinating what Dom does. Yeah, fascinating. I don't know if that's where I go with it, but like, it does feel like it's an interesting challenge for him, what he actually does after this kind of arc, because he's working with Ray again this year, you know? So it's interesting. I don't know if I'd go with another faction. Oracle has pitched before. I'm going to steal Oracle's idea again because I love it so much. Oracle's idea is that Rhea dumps Dom as her babyface turn, and then Dom like comes back with a new girlfriend to go after Rhea Ripley. And I've always thought this is like the most beast. If you're an NXT talent, that would be the most incredible call-up ever, right? Like, you get Dom's heat immediately. When he first pitched this, Tiffany Stratton was in NXT, and that was like the one we kind of thought about. Like, imagine that was Tiffany Stratton's debut. And to be clear, Tiffany Stratton doesn't need that gimmick, so it'd be a waste. But I've always loved that as an idea for like Dom's next thing, you know. But he would be fun. I mean, I'm a fan of Dom. I know he's not a super worker, but I do enjoy Dom. I did see the Mania 34 main event live, yes. I remember much of it, but I was there. Speaking of overrated, underrated, why is StreamYard being so dumb? Why is it doing this to me? I'm really... Right. Speaking of overrated, underrated, Brett, Sean, I am, as we called, overrated for at least the last 20 years. Is it now underrated? It's definitely less than some of its parts, so no. False. Why? So this is... I actually do think it's now become underrated. Yes, I do. I think it's a good wrestling match. Do I love it? No. Do I get why Brett's infatuated with it? Yes, because I get he's proud of it. Yeah, I think it has a lot of flaws. It's also a match that I don't think is particularly flattering for Sean in you know, specifically because I think it asks him to do things he was never particularly good at, especially when they're working the mat. Like, that stuff's not Sean's best. But I still do like that match. Now, the problem is, if it's a 60-minute match and you only say, I like it, it's that comes with a lot of baggage, right? Because it's like, how many times are you going to rewatch a 60-minute Iron Man match that you just, I like it, you know? But I do think it's a good wrestling match. I just think the issue is that it comes with such kind of historic gravity that you can't help but be kind of dismissive of it. And then you get to the point where, as you mentioned, or you asked, I should say, it kind of gets like overstated, I think, sometimes. But the Fred the other day, not Fred, but just the quotes about it the other day were fucking hilarious. I was popping me huge, so. Good times. Joe, who in AEW's men's division and a women's division would you consider to be your elite eight? Okay, I'm going to do four each. Let's rock and roll. Here we go. Now, the key here would be these are talents that I'm building around centerpiece of the company long term, okay? Right. Hold up. The Blade is not quite going to be on this list, so I'm scrolling more. Danielson is winding down. Christian is 50, unfortunately. Claudio is older than you would think. Okay, here we go. Can we swerve? Give me Ospreay. Give me Takeshita. And give me Hangman. In the women's division, Mercedes, Willow, Athena, Chris Statlander. That's my elite eight. Take it or leave it, folks. No one remembers it or at least wants to, but Charlotte Rhea at the COVID Mania and Kabuki Warriors Alexa and Nikki are very good. They are good, actually. You're right. Yeah, absolutely correct. What have you made of the booking of Solo? Hilarious. Probably not ideal, but very funny. I like Solo, so I haven't got any beef, but it is funny, you know. What's the most real Graps football match? Battle at the Bridge. Yes, absolutely Battle at the Bridge. That was a moment in time. I loved that team. That I was like actually watching back then. It was a fun time. God bless. Doing well, man. I'm doing well. I'm glad to see you are too. JJ Williams in the house. Yes, indeed, sir. Hot crowd. We have got to be winding down pretty soon here, and I'm 15 minutes behind the chat, so I'm going to scroll a little quicker. I apologize if I miss your deal, but luckily I do this once a week, so we can always catch up some other time. Before guaranteed contracts, wrestlers famously got along and did business together all the time with no issue. So true, man. It's such a wholesome industry. Nailed it. Yeah, man. Spot on. Kevin Owens is the most naturally funny wrestler. Dude, he's awesome. There's very few wrestlers that I actually like. How do I put this wrestling? I can answer. Like, I actually somewhat respect on like a personal human level because I just expect the worst. I actually like respect Kevin Owens in that regard and think quite highly of him. Maybe that'll age poorly. He usually does in wrestling, but I do. I think a lot of him. It's very, very funny too. I have an in real life friend who started watching Graps last year. I watched Dynamite with them and I showed them Okada Shibata and Okada Omega last night. It's been wonderful seeing Fallen in Love Wrestling. it's a great experience, and it also is a great way to kind of retrain your brain in terms of, you'll hear a lot of old heads especially talk about like what connects with the casual fan, this made up thing that, like, when I say made up, I don't mean the casual fan is made up. What I mean is they pretend that the casual fan is one person. It's like a universal uniform figure that is only waiting to see someone do a 20-minute promo segment, you know? Experiences like that retrain your brain in terms of like the things that can actually connect. I always talk about Papa Holbert and his wrestling viewing, but like the thing that hooked him on AEW was like watching the Lucha Bros Young Bucks matches. And now, 3 years later, he is now like one of those collide or die merchants, you know, because he's old. But my point is, he would never have got into it if he didn't see guys doing high spots, you know. So it, you kind of have to, you learn a lot from that experience, and it's always fun too. So I'm glad to hear it. Shout out Omar, hope you're well. Should they do the War Dogs on the main roster? I don't think so. I think Bronze potential is too much for that, but I do like the team though, nonetheless. Real Graps. They're running SmackDown against Scotland, Germany in the Euros. Holy shit, that's gonna be hilarious. Could be an adventure, but walking out of a football ground to see folks wearing A Town Down shirts. My biggest gripe of AEW booking is passing off matches like Swerve to Kestra as if the outcome is in doubt. I can see why those fall off in TV ratings relative to match quality. I agree, actually. Yeah, that's a really good call. And it's a hard thing to avoid, right? But I do think it's one of those things that's like, it's easy to focus on the quality of the match, and rightly so, that is important. But a big part of promoting, to your point, is convincing me that both guys can win. And I agree, for a lot of people, if the match isn't in doubt, they're going to... And the other thing, too, is it's not like a squash match where you're getting 2 minutes and a guy's going over, because of course they are. It's a 20-minute main event, right? And the fact that you can tell, I mean, that result was never, ever in doubt. I agree. I can see why it hurts the TV side of things. I'm still glad the match happened, right? But there's still something to be said for, as a promoter, are you doing the talent justice? Are you giving them the best, you know, the best support of your creative if it's very obvious that Takeshita is going to lose any match? In an ideal world, there's not a single match in AEW Takeshita should wrestle where it's obvious he's losing, right? That's a hard thing to pull off, but that should be the goal. And I think things like that are actually more important improvements than these like sort of sweeping, industry transforming. Like, that's the, you know, you're selling fights at the end of the day. So I like the point a lot. Chuck is in the house. Hope you're well, Charlie. We had that hilarious photo on Sunday, which I was saying on Worldwide last night. When Chuck messaged me, I was like, damn, we don't even look like we're happy in this photo. It's like a bit... I was mad. I was like, we were happy. I'm sure of it. It was very British. She tweets the thing and it goes crazy for reasons I didn't foresee. So it was very, very fun. But good to see Chuck at the Rev Pro. Yeah, I agree with this, Brian, about Brian in terms of not maximizing him as a kind of commercial asset, even though critically his work has been fabulous. And that balancing act is, because you're right, he's, as a character, there's money left on the table without telling the kind of more direct story of him as a babyface world beater, right? And people's champ and hero. You have to balance that with what he wants to do in terms of the dream matches. I'm glad we got the dream matches, but it feels like sometimes we have sacrificed his, I guess, you know, again, that I hate to use that for the commercial value. Again, these are all, it's a complicated conversation, because you could very fairly watch this and be like, why would I give a fuck about that? It's like, you don't have to be clear, but we're, you know, if you're doing the analysis thing that I have to pretend I do, then it does matter. Dude, Roxanne in the Dom deal is fucking hilarious. That would be something else. All right. Dom should kick Santos out of his group and become the leader. Hashtag Santos bad. That's a little spiteful. I don't know if he's bad. I'm not sure he's going to be the world's champion anytime soon, but I get your point. Some Iron Man, Brett and Sean talk. Also has, this is regarding the Dom angle, also has hilarious potential if the call-up is playing Dom and he gets his comeuppance again. which came just after someone suggesting Lola Vice for that, which would be hilarious. Like, the idea of Lola Vice doing the pre-tape she would do for that angle would be tremendous. Because Lola is very much someone who, like, she has a natural charisma for just, like, that kind of, you know, like, she is an ass kicker, right? Like, she's actually, like, legitimately is a shooter. So she has, like, a natural physical charisma. But when she does segments, you can tell she, like, you, like, see her manually turn on the I am now acting thing, which is fine. She's been wrestling for, like, a year. I'm not knocking her. But her doing pre-tapes with Dom would be, I'd imagine they'd be quite entertaining. For good or bad, I'd imagine they'd be very entertaining. Not a lot of love for the Iron Man match here, folks, in the chat, I must say. All right. Any interest in seeing Rhea Becky try to pull off a double turn at Mania? I think that's a two true outcome scenario where it either comes off massive or falls terribly flat. Sorry, Jesus. Triple H never takes risks, though. I actually do think it would be interesting, but they've not really told the right story for it. Like, the story they were telling a few months ago where Becky said she wasn't sure she could beat Rhea was perfect, because then you can do the thing of where Becky can't beat Rhea, cheats, double turn. Rhea chases Becky. They've lost, that story has gone to the background now. And instead, they've actually, like, reiterated Rhea's place as the heel. So that really makes what you're suggesting, much as I think it'd be interesting, I think it's less likely, which is a shame. It depends. I definitely think with Rhea, like, she should be a babyface as soon as possible. I think you're going against the grain for no good reason with her as a heel. The people want to cheer her. She's got a cool factor. Let them cheer her. With Becky, I don't know what her, like, long-term plan is. I could definitely see Becky taking some time after this match. She's been very busy, then the whole book tour and everything else. Like, I don't know what her long, like, how long she sees herself as a full-time wrestler. I'm not suggesting she shouldn't be one. I don't know, right? Like, I'm not sure. So that will probably impact things. Because if she's going to be more of, like, an attraction within the division, I know she talked about not needing the belt. She probably is better as a babyface. But if you want to maximize Rhea and Becky as a program, double turn would be very interesting for sure. What would you do with Bron, Tiff, and Dragon Lee post-Mania? Tiff is a natural program for Bayley, right? I mean, it's an easy dynamic. I think that's like an obvious one. And it's the kind of opponent where you can have Bayley win those matches without hurting Tiff, because I think the matches would be good and would kind of further solidify her. Bron Breakker, I would be tempted to have him kill Logan Paul and win the US belt, to be honest with you, if Logan makes it out of Saturday, or sorry, Sunday. I'd be tempted by that. You need to figure out baby or heel. If he's going to be a heel, then I would marry him to Kevin Owens, who I think could have killer matches with Bron that don't undercut Bron's, like, you know, kind of this menacing, you know, presence they're trying to build for him. So that's one there for him. I know that Heyman's going to be kind of lurking in that regard. So Bron could definitely be involved in the Heyman business, which I'd imagine will be big business coming up soon here. As for Dragon Lee, you'd imagine that Mania is going to be a big step in kind of Ray passing the torch to him, right? You'd assume. So maybe they work some babyface matches, or maybe they have an extended tag run, because the tag belts are being split up again. So maybe you do some Ray Dragon Lee tag team. That'd be a nice thing to see on TV, right? Okay, folks, we've got about 20 more minutes here. So keep the questions coming. If I missed them earlier, feel free to throw them in the chat again. I try to answer most things I can answer without having the World Wrestling Federation sue me, as they did for the NXT TakeOver London match review. They did not really, I'm just kidding. Speaking of such, there's another match review that's being worked on by Tope and I right now. Who, speaking of Tope, Fleet Week is back on Late Night Grin on Thursday. So mark your calendar, 5 Eastern. TNA Bobby Roode World Championship run is the best title run in TNA history, in my opinion. I don't really disagree. Takes him a while to get into, like, to get comfortable as a singles wrestler, I think, in that run. Like, I don't love the matches of AJ at the end of 2011, But as 2012 gets going, he starts to get really in a rhythm. And the last few months of his reign are really, really strong. The steel cage match with Storm isn't quite what you'd want it to be, but there's still a lot to like there. He has a really good TV match with AJ that far, far, you know, exceeds what they did on pay-per-view. The Sting match is pretty good at Slammiversary. And then, of course, the match he drops the belt to Austin Aries is really a TNA classic. So, yeah, I don't disagree. It was the longest reigning reign to that point. I'm sure it's been broken since, but I can't really argue with that. Bobby Roode was a hell of a pro wrestler there for a long time. I understand why people were kind of dismissive because he's not the most flashy, but I really enjoyed his work, especially as a tag team worker. He was a good singles wrestler, but Bobby Roode was a great tag team wrestler. Were you ever a fan of WCWP? WCWP. WCWP. If this isn't a typo and it's a real thing, then clearly no. I don't know. I don't think so. If you mean World Championship Wrestling, then yes. But I did not see it live. But I think you're thinking about something else, and I just don't know what that is. I don't know. Follow up on that, bro. I may be just being dumb. WCPW. These are many letters now that are going. Now I don't know if I've been saying it wrong or WCPW. Oh, the what culture. My bad. Okay. I've seen single matches. My bad, bro. I should have figured out that. Okay. I've seen single matches. I was not watching in real time. No. I've seen a couple matches back in hindsight. Seems to have been a cool project. Like, I don't really know a lot about it, but they did some weird, quirky shit and had some big stars in. So it's fun. My bad for messing that up. All right. Best PC era WWE matches. AJ and Dragon is the obvious one. I reviewed an Alexa Nikki match, which was like kind of inexplicably like good and compelling for a PC match. It was very strange. I reviewed it in detail because it baffled me to such a degree. There's some Claudio ones, I want to say. Bailey and Mercedes have a cell match that is like basically great in the Thunderdome. Dragon has so many. He has ones like with Claudio. He has the Roman match before he leaves. I know these are fun, but you get my point. I mean, it's all, you know, all of this stuff, please. Malakai and Apollo had one at the PC. I want to say Andrade had a couple good ones. Also, Big Show wrestled Drew McIntyre, which rules. I mean, it doesn't rule, but it's funny. Factual. Run the story, folks. Right, we're winding down, folks. Here we go. Joe, you are given the opportunity to sign any six wrestlers, regardless of contract status, to JHP. The catch is you're only able to sign one signed wrestler per promotion. Who do you sign? Very spiteful. Right, we need... Look, I don't care how old he is. Like, it's Joe over promotions. We need Joe, right? We need the big man. So AEW, we're going to take the 45-year-old Samoa Joe. Get ready for a real youth movement here from Joe Burt Promotions. Samoa Joe, welcome to the team. Okay. From the World Wrestling Federation, we select... I'm scrolling furiously here. I mean, I know who I want to pick, but like, it's probably a bet. I probably shouldn't pick Carl Anderson, right? Would that be a mistake? Probably. would that probably be an error in my GM campaign here as the head of the team? Okay, let me try and find my... bear with me, folks. We have a little bit of time. Joe Hulbert Promotions. Let me scroll from my roster. God, I should have got Athena, really, but you got to have Joe, right? You have to. Right, give me the funniest tweeter in WWE. Give me Andrade El Idolo, who I'll just have walk around backstage and talk to people, which he's done for the last 3 years. Maybe I'll have him wrestle on occasion. He'll be my WWE pick because he's less insane than Cole Anderson, but I don't want to be blame and be like, give me, you know, Drew McIntyre. That'd just be me lying. All right, let's pick someone from TNA. Let's take Nick Nemeth from TNA. Okay, we've got Andrade, Nemeth, and Samoa Joe. Give me Hazuki from Stardom. What other wrestling promotions are there, dude? Give me Tokyo Joshi Pro. We will get... I'm trying to, like, think of my last one. But we'll take Miyu Watanabe from Tokyo Joshi Pro. And then we'll have, from New Japan Pro Wrestling, we'll take Tomohiro Ishii. So, Watanabe, Hazuki, Ishii, Nick Nemeth, Samoa Joe, Andrade El Idolo. We ain't doing shit with that squad, dude. We're getting thrown off damn TV with that squad, but we're going to have fun nonetheless. Make the most of it. All right, I'm going to try and sprint through here. Kevin Owens live. Have you heard Mox has a favored nation clause? I've not. No, I don't believe that to be the case. Okay. How would you rate New Japan, All Japan, Noah, DDT Stardom, and Tokyo Joshi Pro based on personal preference? I don't watch any of them closely. All Japan is like spirit. Like, I think the way they have their main events is like hilariously old fashioned. And sometimes the matches aren't even very good, which I respect. Because normally when matches aren't very good, it's because they try too hard. Whereas sometimes, like a couple of Nakajima's title defenses are just like 15 minute wrestling matches. Thank God someone's still doing it. So give me All Japan. I would then probably go. New Japan drives me fucking nuts. I can't say them. Give me Stardom. Give me New Japan 3. TJPW 4. Noah 5. DDT 6, because I watch the least DDT of those by far. I like a couple of the top guys, but I just don't watch enough of it. I'd have to say they're sick. So, there you go. Noah's presentation is sick, dude. It's just, you know, all the issues that come with Noah. Okay, Scotland, Germany is actually in Munich, so never mind. No one is going to be fighting with Austin Fury fans that night after. Well, someone might, but not football fans. Okay. Do you think they had some sort of stipulation to Joe Swerve? Swerve going around with the chain, mate. Do you think they do? Good call on the swerve on the chain deal, and I actually think it would be a good call. Yeah, I do. I think that'd be a good call. Do we see Brian versus Nigel? I think we do. Do you think that if Cody finishes the story this Sunday coming, that will make up and rectify for the finish at Mania 39? In a lot of ways, yes. It still will be a mistake, I think. But if you stick the landing and you add extra beats to the journey, I think it's hard to argue with. Curious, how long do you see Triple H's way of booking sustaining WWE's current hot streak? A while, to be honest. I think there is going to be things he does that annoy me specifically and annoy like those of us that are deep inside. But I think he's more steady than like Mercurial. He doesn't take big swings. He's very, and I think that will allow him to have longevity, even if it isn't always the most exciting for nerds like you and I. You know, if that makes sense. So I think he'll be fine actually for a while. Yeah. Thoughts on Jade as a babyface? Think it'll be a long term thing. I do actually think it'll be a long term thing. Yeah, I think it's a home run from a presentation point of view. I think the matches will be an issue because I think they're going to want to make her sell. And I don't think anyone in the world wants to see Jade fighting from underneath, but that's something they historically struggle with. So that could be an issue, something to monitor for sure. How many total matches do you think we end up with on ROH this Friday? I want to say they're already at 6 advertised. Probably like 12 with 0R, right? 13 with 0R. Make of that what you will. I'm sure it'll be a long night. We're doing a review on the Grin after. I'm looking forward to it, though. It's super card, right? At the end of the day, we must have traditions for these things. Okay, some Ray Dragon Lee chow. Randomly fantasy booking Mark Briscoe defending the ROH world title against Brian Danielson. Need him and Joe at Wembley, bro. That's the one I'm shooting for. Saw this question on Twitter the other day, but who is a wrestler who would have and should have been bigger if their attitudes / toxic personalities weren't in the way? Austin Aries. You mentioned Loki and Tessa, but yeah, Austin Aries, like, Aries was fucking incredibly talented, man. It's, I mean, it is what he's always, I don't want to say it's a shame because it's his fault, right? Like, it's not like I'm not going to cry for him or anything, but he's very, very talented and he's like already a forgotten part of history. He was as good as most of the guys from that era that are like legendary figures in wrestling now. Yeah, he fucked it up completely. Best Bobby Roode WWE match to you? Probably the Kenta match. Hideo, yeah, I think that's actually like a miracle match, to be honest with you. I still can't believe how or why that match was as good as it was. Would feel like a total stylistic clash. I'd say either that or the long TV match with the Revival, him and Gable versus the Revival. We still haven't got the tape on those house show matches that we hear about, but the long TV match is good. Not great, but it is very, very good. They had Volta versus Ospreay and What Culture. That's incredible to think about. Claudio Roman did have a great one. Agreed. Thoughts on some Brian Danielson fans disregarding his WWE career? I think it's silly because I think it's like why it's the reason Dragon is as special as he is to me. Like, to me, the centerpiece of his brilliance is that he actually did it to that degree in WWE, which you'd think would be impossible. And he was the guy for a minute there. Like, he's part of the best two title wins in the 2010s, and one of them is a babyface, and one of them is as a heel. I wouldn't dismiss it. I'd celebrate. I think that's why he's the best ever, to be honest with you. Incredible, incredible pro wrestler, Brian Danielson. Another one for the headline. JJ, note it down. All right. Miyu, absolutely. How do you think this Jericho thing plays out? The Office can't keep ignoring it, can they? Yes, they can, unfortunately. And I don't know. I don't get why dude, I'm so washed. Like, how did I not say the Roderick Strong match for Bobby Roode's best WWE match? What is happening to me? I'm like, I'm a shell of myself. You know, it's very sad. Yeah, American Dragon's right. Bobby Roode, Roderick Strong. They're trying to review that in depth or somewhere. That match is awesome. NWA World's title match at Full Sail. Tremendous match. Anyway, the Jericho thing. I don't get why Jericho is like calling him out this week. I thought they just agreed to be friends. I don't understand what's going on. Who would you book in an all-in undercard all-star tag match? Pull up the AEW roster here. See, it's interesting because a lot of the guys, the main guys, I think it should be a priority that this year they actually get real wrestling matches, you know, singles matches. However, I could see something to Mox and Claudio working as a tag, you know. But who would be their opponents in such an ordeal? This roster is fascinating. I sometimes find it very hard to figure out who's where in terms of pecking order. Like, who should have singles matches at Wembley? Well, if Mark Briscoe doesn't get that Samoa Joe match, I think we need to get him a Wembley entrance, right? I think that much goes without saying. We need to work him in there somewhere. Shibata, it feels like, should be in attendance, right? That'd be pretty sweet. Yeah. I don't know. I haven't got a good answer on this one, 6-3. I'm going to circle back. Some shit with Dustin Rhodes probably will end up being my answer because, of course, I'm going to circle back on that. I'm going to come back with a full card at some point. We'll figure it out. I appreciate the question. All right. Look at me just being spiteful. Okay. Folks, that brings us to a halt here. I implore everyone to go watch the Wrestle Purist Raw review. As always on Tuesday, I think it's just Ibu and Rob this week. Go check them out. I think they're live in 10 minutes. Before then, some plugs. Some Thursday, Fleet Week is back on Late Night Greenness at 10 Eastern, 11, sorry, 5 Eastern, 10 UK time. 5 Eastern, 6:30 Eastern, I'll be live for the Dynamite Review. So you've got like a little block there of wrestling content if you're into that kind of thing. I assume you are. I don't know why you're here or not. Friday, after Supercard of Honor, because it's probably going to be like midnight by that point, we'll be doing the Late Night Grin episode 103, which will be a Supercard of Honor review. which I'm excited for. Certainly, Saturday and Sunday, we're going to be reviewing both nights of WrestleMania live immediately afterwards on the Late Night Grin. So that's what's coming up. I may even, if I'm feeling good, slide in a stand and deliver review. Maybe, just maybe. We shall see. But that's what's coming up. This is probably going to be the only Holbert House show this week because it's Mania week. It's going to be fucking crazy. And I just want to say sincerely, try your best to enjoy it. You know, I wouldn't say, how do I put this? Watch as much of it as you want to watch. Do not feel the need or necessity to force yourself to watch a lot of it because, trust me, I've been there. That doesn't always end well either. But pick out the stuff you want to watch and try your best to enjoy it. It's a very, very special week of the wrestling year. Even if you're not a WWE fan, there's so much going on in wrestling this week. And it's a cool time. So try your best to enjoy it. I hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, please do the thumbs up, the subscribe, all those cool things that you are supposed to do as a YouTube channel. And I'll probably be back with one of these next week. But as I said, you can see me at Late Night Green. You can see me at WrestlePurist, as always, all that good stuff. Also, one last thing. I'm seeing a lot of people getting their Late Night Green shirts. So it is, let me make sure I got the URL right before I say it, latenightgrinshop.com. You can get some pretty cool shirts, man. I mean, that's not right. That's not the right address. Okay, never mind. Ignore me. I don't know what it is. Late Night Grin Shop. Yeah, it is. Fucking losers. Latenightgrinshop.com. You can get some cool shirts. You can get some real graps. I think there's like 30% off this week or some shit. I don't know. I got an email about it. You get real graps. You can get the tie-dye. All of that shit. Loads of people are getting them. They think they're getting rave reviews from the masses. No Silent M. So you can go do that too if you're really feeling generous. But either way, here is me as an Andre the Giant statue. And as always, folks, thanks for the house. Have a great evening, everyone. Go check out the WrestlePurist for the Raw review. Speak soon, folks.